The point is that at this point, you first have to start weaning them off. Instead of 3 hours, 2 hours and 50 minutes, and 2 hours and 40 minutes, and then 2 hours and 30 minutes. And first you minimize the damage control. The point is that once the damage is done, to reverse it is very, very hard. The first stage you need to do is damage control, is to start reducing it to a point that they at least appreciate it, that even if they play once a day one game, then it's appreciated.
That's now, where I am now.
Okay. So the point is, the thing is like this, that this is the problem in our generation, that the neighbors have something you don't want to have, or the other kids have something that you don't want to have. I'm sorry. You need to know how to give a little bit so they're not going to go somewhere else and get a lot of it. So that's unfortunate in our generation. That's why a lot of people say, I want to live in a shtetl. I want to live in a closed community that everybody's the same. But when you don't, then you need to know to give the child a little bit to be at least satisfied and calm the curiosity. Because if they have too much curiosity, they'll go and look for it somewhere else. What you need to do as a start is at least minimize it and to control it. The point is that this is the bridge that is the hardest to build, is to make them understand that it's a secondary thing, that it's fun, but it's, you have to find your way how to teach them that playing football is actually more fun. And climbing on a tree is more fun. I mean, the thing is that the way how I see it, brains of kids is a code, like a software, like a program. You go into the code and you change it, then you decode the bug. This is what hypnotism does, because people operate from their subconscious. They don't operate from their conscious. And curing people by hypnotism, then they go to the subconscious and they change the code. I was a very, very heavy smoker. I used to smoke for 15 years, 2 packs a day, like a chain smoker. And I quit smoking in one shot, hypnotized. I was hypnotized. And the whole system is that they go to the hypnotist, goes to your subconscious, because the hypnotist puts you in a state.
But you wanted to stop smoking.
Of course you have to want. But even when you don't really want, if it's a good hypnotist, he makes a good, hypnotism is not an invention. This is the Torah of Kabbalah, they teach about hypnotism. It's basically bridging between your subconscious and the conscious. I mean, Kabbalah calls it the back brain and the front brain. But all the data is held in the back brain, in the subconscious. If you know how to decode it, then you're bringing from the subconscious into the conscious. So people are able to quit smoking, to fight all sorts of habits. I mean, the concept that is called addiction, it's an invention of our generation. There's no such thing as an addiction. Just a very poor way of handling your desires. That's it. I mean, at some point it comes to a very, when somebody really abuses it, then physically the addiction, it's already physical. But anything can be reversed because the mind is much more stronger than the body. You have to find the way how you're decoding the program in the back of the mind. And it all depends how much the damage is done. If the damage, I'm saying damage in an extreme way, but it all depends how much the damage is done, that you slowly have to repair it. The point is that you have to first start minimizing the damage, the time that is spent, and enticing them to see that it's actually, bemet, it's much more fun to do something normal than to be glued to something. I mean, I also, when I was a kid, we didn't have PlayStation, so whatever we had, Atari, Nintendo, I don't even remember the names. So we played, okay, once a week we played. I mean, the games were also fun, but in my mind, it was much more fun to go out and drive my bike and do tricks, or to climb on a tree, or to, I don't know what, to explore and go on trips in the fields. So how the child sees things. So you have to try to figure out how you taking them out of the mode. And one of the ways of doing is actually taking them on all sorts of activities that are fun. Taking them to the beach, or I don't know, renting a jet ski one day, or whatever. Excuse me?
Science museum.
Whatever. You stimulate their, hey, wait a minute, there's actually much more fun here than there. Because really when you're thinking about it, their brain, you know, it's totally shut down. It's just the fingers moving. You know, it's some weird operation. If you actually expose to them other ways of fun things, they'll be like, hey, wait a minute, it's actually more fun to do that. And you slowly, slowly take them off. Because for kids, a lot of things are real fun. Take them to an amusement park, it's fun. Take them to a water park, it's even more fun.
Then it's not fun for me. I know.
I mean.
I know. And as far as
why? It should be fun for you, a water park?
And practical. When they're coming home from school, you can't go to an amusement park.
You do it once every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. I mean, listen, you have to be, again, like, you have to be practical. So the thing is that in our generation, especially that the temptation is around the fence, all they need to do is go to a neighbor, then you have to know how to monitor it that they do get something. Like a drug addict, he needs a little bit of the drug. But you minimize it, and you try to empower positive things, because a little bit of light diminishes a lot of darkness. You just have to inject a lot of positive things. And I mean, your husband looks like a pretty cool father. He needs to do a lot of cool things with them that they really find fun. And boys, they like action. I mean, the screen, it's just a brain killer. Kids need to be constantly stimulated. I mean, you have to take them as much as possible to afternoon activities, whatever sports they like. I mean, I know a lot of people that are like, no, I don't want them to do too many secular things. No, the kids need to do sports. They need to hit things and they need to jump on things and get them excited physically. They by themselves will see that it's much more fun to do extreme things, and you have to, yeah, use your imagination.
Okay, and if I have a son who's specifically very much liach, not in sports, but with computers, that's where he gets his biggest, like, confidence boost because he's so good at it. Are there things that the Rav knows about, like, I don't know, like ways to use it for Kedusha, to use a talent that has to do with these screens and these types of electronics and elevate it?
Well, it depends what he does.
I don't know yet, he's little. But
how little?
12, not so little.
And what is he, like,
Minecraft things, and he's building things, and he's creating things in his mind, but he's...
But he's actually writing code and creating things?
I think he would be good. I think
so good. You empower that. So maybe in 2-3 years, he can become a programmer.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do right now with Kedusha, because a man also needs Parnasa.
Right.
He can pull the Kedusha out of the Parnasa by taking his money and giving tzedakah and sending his kids to yeshiva and so forth and all these things. But regardless to that, maybe down the line he'll build apps that have learning on them and all sorts of high-tech things that have Kedusha in it. But if a child has a certain talent to it, it's nothing to do with right now with Kedusha. If you see that it's something that is very, very extra good in it, then you feed it. Because he can go and learn it later on. It can be a profession. And he will, don't worry, you can utilize Kedusha in everything. Later on, if he starts already learning in a very early stage, if he's now like this 12, then at 14 he can already start writing code. So you start telling him, hey, let's make like a program that, I don't know, I can come up with an idea right now, but let's make a program that calculates, I don't know what. Or you make something that you can learn through it, whatever. You can always apply technology into Torah. But definitely when you see some kid that has a certain talent to something, then you want to feed it, because every person has a talent. And once the talent is in the developing process, that's one thing. But when the talent is 100% it reached its peak, then it has to be used to Avodat Hashem. So the talent can be dancing, can be an instrument, can be anything, drawing, any little thing is a talent. Every person, the talent just didn't come up from space. Hashem gave that person the talent. And you utilize the talent to Avodat Hashem. So if he has unbelievable talent with computers, I don't know, maybe in 2-3 years he'll build a software that will serve the synagogues, I don't know what. No.
Okay.
The thing is, I'll tell you what you want to do. You want to make sure that you and your husband do something in that type of community and that it doesn't affect you, that he will see like, oh, my dad can go and sit with a group of people that are not religious, and instead of being affected from them, he affects them by here and there throwing a Dvar Torah or something, or just by holding him a certain way. that he will by default say, oh, it doesn't affect my father, it shouldn't affect me. So I specifically take my kids on lectures and classes, and when I do all sorts of acts of outreach, so they'll see, oh, it doesn't affect my father that he's talking to a man that doesn't have a yarmulke or a beard. Or he can talk to a group of young girls, and it doesn't need to affect him. So the child makes a separation. Okay, I'm religious, they're not religious. They religious should not affect me that I'm not religious. I mean, the decision is right. You want to make sure that he is out there. Here you want to make sure that he has the motion that it doesn't affect him. One way of doing it is giving an example. And the other way is you teach him by saying, you know, when you go to the chug, make sure that when somebody tells you something, you say, Baruch Hashem. You pull out something to drink, say the bracha out loud, Shakol Ni'abit Barom. Show them. Show them what it means. Be a shliach now. You have to represent us now. Make sure your tzitzis is nice and clean outside. Or your kippah, then don't curse, don't scream. We're from, represent us. They're not from. Teach them. If you put in him this motion that you are a shaliach, you're representing Hashem right now. So you have to first make sure that it's not a bad thing. I know a lot of people say, no, segregate. First of all, if you trust, the thing is like this, if you could build midot in the child, doesn't matter where you're going to put him, it's not going to affect him. And 12 is already the age that you can say, okay, if you 100% are strong with it, the midot that you gave him are solid, he can go anywhere. It's not going to affect him. Because when a person is in the motion of projecting, he's not in the motion of receiving. That's why what you give to the children, the foundation in the home, is so powerful. Because at some point you're saying, I'll put my child here. Now nothing's going to affect him. And if his foundation is not solid, then he'll get affected. Same thing with the video games. If you do it in a very powerful and solid way, they will go to the friends and say, in our home we only play half an hour. We don't play 2 hours.
Well, they will tell them
to the friend. But it's all about the foundation. The child, you have to understand that you build the child. If you give confidence to the child, then the child, it can be 7, and be strong. Like where we live, my 3-year-old, she goes every Friday with an older teenager, then goes in the streets and they give candles for Shabbat. She's 3-year-old, she comes and she stops people, Shabbat Shalom, take candles. You build this, I don't know the word in English, assertiveness, a certain, the child becomes very powerful. Not only confident in his Yiddishkeit. Yeah, you know, sometimes my kids, they come home, they say funny things. They're non-Jewish people. No, they aren't Jewish. They just don't wear a yarmulke. But sometimes they have all sorts of, you know, my 4-year-old, 5-year-old, they're like, these are not Jewish because we lived in America. So for them, somebody out of Kamer, yarmulke is not Jewish. But they learn that there are people that they're not keeping Torah and mitzvot. Nothing wrong with them. And we tell them, your grandparents, they don't keep Torah and mitzvot. Your cousins, we didn't keep Torah and mitzvot half of our life. But if you put this, what's the word you use? The confidence in the Yiddishkeit, nothing will affect them. And they'll only get this confidence when you and your husband are like that. That your husband goes in the street with a yarmulke and a beard and a talis on Shabbat. Even if he wants to carry the talis, put it on you. The act that I'm proud to wear a tallit. It's an honor to wear a tallit. So whatever you give as an example, if you want to make sure that he's solid, then make sure that if you take him somewhere and you show him an act of how you are proud of you being frum. And you don't, you know, a lot of frum people, the parents, they hide the or whatever. No, you have to show the certainty. So it's a smart thing to do because you want him to be in the world. Because he lives in the world. He goes down, up and down the street. 80% of the people who are in the street are not from. So you're not keeping him in an isolated place. So he has to be very solid in his emunah and his Yiddishkeit that this is how we are. This is how they are. This is how I am. I have to affect them. So you have to build in him these very solid foundations, so he'll go to the chug, he'll be very proud, and he's not going to even see an issue that he's frum and they're not. He'll see eye to eye. That this is the problem with a lot of frum people, and they're with chinuch, which is very, very wrong, that whoever is not religious, mukta, can't play with him. Sinat chinam. First of all, kids, they do hold grudge. Most of the messed up people is kids that hold grudge because their parent did something 70 years ago. And if the parent is able to lower himself and say, I was wrong, then first of all, besides the direct effect, the child is like, hey, he's actually acknowledging.
I mean, he still thinks I'm guilty of everything from Bereshit, but still.
It's a totally different thing.
He knows.
This is the problem with a lot of people, especially in not only with kids, it's bechlal to be able to apologize. And most people, that they'll come and say, they'll find all the excuses why they're right. And it has nothing to do with you're right or not. You did something wrong, you apologize. And this is a very, very, very hard level to reach, that you know when to say, sorry, I didn't mean to. I couldn't control myself. I shouldn't have said that. And other people think, oh no, I'm making myself a shmate. No, you're not. You're actually making yourself much, much greater. You're humbling yourself. You're asking about chutzpah for the 18-year-old or for the young ones?
For the 18-year-old.
An 18-year-old, you almost can do barely anything for chutzpah.
Right.
At this point.
I mean,
at 18 years old, unfortunately, there's nothing much to do.
Not much, okay.
Just to give them love. To include them in everything, like you're saying, is not so from. At this point, the only thing you can do is just give him unconditional love. Don't be judgmental. Accept him. I mean, you can tell him straightforward. Listen, I respect that you chose. This is the path you choose. I don't like it. He needs to know you don't like it. I respect it, but at least respect me back. And next to the young ones, I mean. Be ever so in a way. Chutzpah is a very hard one because each child, the chutzpah comes from a different place.
Okay.
One child, the chutzpah will come from lack of attention, so they need to get attention, so they'll somehow pull your attention by answering back. Another child, the chutzpah will come from the point that the personality is that they have to be the center of everything, so they'll cause havoc, so they'll be the center. Some people, their chutzpah comes directly from their neshama. Their neshama is annoyed, so the reaction will be chutzpah. So each child will be chutzpah from a totally different reason. Some child will be chutzpah because he feels that the parent is not giving them what he wants, the right attention. Sometimes the parent, you know, doesn't have patience, or the problem is, I'll tell you what's the problem, that when a child is small, if the parent shoos off the child a lot, then the reaction down the line will be chutzpah. That's one of the problems. It has nothing to do with attention right now. It can be even from a very, you know, not revengeful way. So you have to, first of all, you have to see where the chutzpah is coming from. It depends on so many different ways. Unfortunately, there's not a black and white answer. And also when there's a very large gap of ages, that's another problem.
It's all filled in, but there's all the ages.
But no, but then there was a very large gap of ages, that's also a problem. Because one will be chutzpah because he's 18. And the 7-year-old would look, oh, the big one does it, so I can do it too. And he doesn't understand that it's even wrong. Unfortunately, there's not a black and white answer. I find that to fight something negative with a negative action doesn't help. It's almost like coming to a doctor and telling the doctor, you know, I have pains somewhere, my elbow or my shoulder. And they'll try to treat the area that you have the pain, which is, it's not the right way. If you're looking, no, not only that, if you're looking at the Chinese medicine, You come and tell them, my shoulder hurts, they'll poke your knee. Why? Because when an organ is weak, you don't try to strengthen the organ, because the organ is weak. You strengthen a strong organ, because the body is strong enough to put it back in balance. So when you try to fight something negative with the negativity, it's not going to do any effect. Rather, you want to strengthen something from a completely different place. And what it does, that it will cause some type of a balance, some type of a healthy balance. So to necessarily scream or punish or you said this, I'll do this. I mean, I didn't get to mention in the class at all about, but the whole threatening system, bad. First of all, then exactly. When you don't carry out the threat, you're back to being a liar.
I still haven't given away all their toys.
None of that. More than that, kids, you know, any person, who wants to be threatened? Take an adult now and threaten him? Like, so kids don't like being threatened. So you have to work in a very reverse psychology type of way, because threats don't work. And unfortunately, most of the basic punishments, they don't do it. The kids just get upset. And why am I getting punished right now? He also said it, and he's not getting punished right now. So you have to try to understand the psychology in the 7-year-old brain or the 14-year-old brain. Their brains are not developed. Even the 18-year-old is not developed. No. I'm telling you, the child, the individual gets dad, the level of dad when they're 20. So even an 8-year-old, as much as they think they're developed, it's not 100%. Needless to say, a 14-year-old and so much more than a 7-year-old. You have to try to dig into the mind of the 7-year-old or the 14-year-old, because you were once 14-year-old. Try to analyze, where is this behavior coming from? Why would I be chutzpahdik? When I need to analyze my kid's behavior, I go into the time machine. Why I did that? I was once chutzpahdik. I was once rebellious. I did this, and this. What caused me to do it? And I tried to go back in the time machine. Maybe I didn't get attention. Maybe I felt threatened. Maybe I felt neglected. Maybe I felt, I don't know. So, first of all, you have to look at the spiritual aspect. That's the first thing that I look at. Because a child, any person, not only a child, even an adult that has some type of a spiritual deficiency, it will come out in a negative way. It will come out in screaming. It will come out in violent movements. It will come in chutzpah. It will come in, so look now at every average driver. You don't accelerate within the fraction of a second when the light is green, screaming, cursing. Why is it coming from? It's coming from a spiritual deficiency. And a lot of people say, no, I don't see any connection. It's coming from a spiritual deficiency, meaning that something in the neshama is lacking. So the reaction will be a violent, negative reaction physically. So it might come in screaming, cursing, pushing, throwing, chutzpahdik. So ultimately it's coming from a spiritual place. That's if you want to look at it in a general way. Now, if they're under bar and bat mitzvah, then you psychoanalyze yourself and your husband, because it will affect the child. A 7-year-old shouldn't be chutzpahdik. Doesn't make sense, unless all day long they're watching shows that's what they see, unless the parents are like that. If the parents are chutzpanim, don't come to any complaints to the child. So, no. The problem is not necessarily with the 11-year-old and the 16-year-old. The 11-year-old also goes in the street. Right. And she sees things. The point is that you have to find your way how you're manipulating the situation, that there shouldn't be these questions. So first of all, it starts with you and your husband. I mean, you do your best. You know, you can't, you don't, at some point you don't have control. You do your best to give a dugma, to give an example. But the thing is that Yiddishkeit has to be presented to a child in a very enticing and exciting way, and not in a choking, in a horrible way. Yeah, the thing is that you know your children much better than anyone, and each child is totally different.
The natural issues and the
take to consideration, I know it's not a good answer, but take to consideration that the problem of the generation is chutzpah. And it says mamash in the Gemara that right before Mashiach will come, chutzpah yisge, the chutzpah is going to be very, very, very dominating. You can blame 50% on the generation, and right before Mashiach is coming. Basically what it means is that spiritually, all the people who are chutzpah, it means that spiritually the neshama is annoyed, okay. Agitated. Okay. That's spiritually what it means, then a person is chutzpah. Okay. Can be a 12-year-old, can be a 7-year-old, can be a 60-year-old. Because if you're looking at it like logically, you know, where is it coming, this chutzpah? It's a midah. It's the opposite of anava. It's the opposite of being humble. The thing is, again, there's no black and white. Like I told the lady before, you have to psychoanalyze everything. And you have to, you know, chanoch lanar al pi darko. Every child has to get his own dose. And you have to be superwoman to each child, what dose they're getting. And some, you know, some children, you know, when they pull a lot, you have to sometimes let them pull. And as they're pulling, you're throwing in what they want. I mean, there is constantly a relationship of a taking and giving, and taking and giving. And children are usually in the motion of taking constantly, very little in the point of giving. So it's the same trick of the, you know, the spoon that flies, and you know, you put the spoon in the mouth.
Yeah.
The same idea. You're giving, but you know, you it comes in a motion. Here, I'll give you what you want, but I'll put my dose in it. So.
Push me, or else I won't.
Yeah, each child is totally, totally different. You have to know. You know the child. You created it.
When she was born in the hospital, my husband picked her up. They said, "Number 8, what haven't we seen yet? Show us what we haven't seen yet."
I mean, the first thing that you have to really take into consideration is that bemet, each child is totally, totally different, and there's no black and white rules. And the thing is that. Very bad example, but a child is like an animal. Because a child, you know, gets more aroused by the midot. Excitement, like an animal. You put a steak in front of a dog, it will start, you know, getting all excited. Child, lehavdil, I'm saying it in an extreme way, but a child is just midot. It gets excited. You have to really learn what excites the child and then inject in it your medicine. That's it. This is the way to look at it. And again, to take into consideration that many things from the environment, they irritate. Chutzpah comes from irritation. Well, why would you be chutzpah? Be irritated. If you're not irritated, look at your own self. If you come and happy, you know, for example, on vacations, people are much more chutzpahic because they're relaxed. People become chutzpah because they're irritated. So in Israel, people are chutzpahim because it's 36 degrees outside. So they're irritated. And things are irritating them, so by default comes out as an action. You have to see if and why, what irritates the kids. Something irritates them. I mean, and again, it's not black and white. But ultimately, you have to really psychoanalyze the kid. At some point, you have to be smart. And with kids, the more you bump into them, there's not going to be results. That's why the screaming and the punishing and the taking and the this doesn't work. Threatening doesn't work. Kids don't even like it. They don't appreciate it. At some point in their limited mind, they're like, well, why are you punishing me? Like, you know what they say? Who you are to punish me?
Yeah.
So the point is that you wanna become on their team. I mean, if you can't win them, you join them.
At a certain point also, I want them to find their own guidelines, not only because I'm telling them or I'm going to be there.
And the most important is giving example. So don't worry. Kids, sometimes they like taking, you know, the long route. They don't realize that taking the short route will get them faster. They need to go. That's why the 18-year-old, sometimes, okay, let him do a circle.
We always joke that one day, I always tell them, I say, you know, one day your brothers and sisters' kids are going to come do shivuk by you, so
No, don't worry about it. I don't get impressed by the ones who go for a little stroll. Lefech, they're going and collecting some sparks here and there, They'll come back. That I won't worry about it.
I was raised Chabad. My husband came into Chabad, and I learned more from his way through what he's taken on his own than what I did, you know, growing up. So I'm not.
The thing is that he knows the 18-year-old. He knows where he came from. You just make sure that where he came from is constantly his support system. He comes with a yarmulke, without a yarmulke. He needs to be accepted and loved with the yarmulke or without the yarmulke. Don't worry, he'll come back one day with the yarmulke. Don't worry, they all come back. At some point, I'm now helping an individual. He's in his late 20s. Came from a Chabad family, and when he was extremely young, he already spread his wings. And now he's back. Oh yeah, he's going to have a lot of struggles now, but he's back. They'll come back. And you know, the further the detour is, the stronger they come back to. The point is that the parents, you have to constantly have the role of giving an example. And if you lose your balance over something, the child detects this, that you're not 100% strong, so he knows where to poke. If you're showing the child, you can do whatever you want, you're not going to move me from my point.
My grandson